Are you curious to know how to buy a house in California? As a young person, buying a home can feel so daunting and overwhelming. In this episode, we're going to share all the tips and tricks to get your offer accepted, talk about the contingency timeframe, and help you get to that really happy closing day.
Hello, and welcome back to the Happy House Hacking Podcast, the podcast designed to help young people in California navigate the path to happy homeownership. On this episode today, we are going to dive into the next steps in our mini series on how to actually buy a home. So we've already gone through what you need to know as far as getting the realtor, getting your loan financing figured out, and now it all comes down to getting your offer accepted. So what does that look like, Camille?
Well, the first thing you really need to know is, are we in a seller's market or are we in a buyer's market? And a seller's market is when there is fewer than 6 months of housing inventory available. And a buyer's market is when there's more than 6 months of inventory available. So if we are in a strong seller's market like we have been for the last few years, the seller still holds all the cards, right? So it's so important that your great agent is going to be your advocate and going to find out from the seller why they're selling, what's their motivation, what do they need to get a win-win deal, right? Sometimes for sellers, it's not just about money. Maybe it's about terms. Maybe they need a rent back before they move to their next house and they'd rather take a less than offer in order to get those terms that they need. Whatever the case, your agent has to find out for you why they're selling and help make that win-win deal.
Right. And what month's supply means that if no new houses at all were listed, it would take that many months before we sold all those listings. So 6 months means it would take 6 months for all of those homes to be bought. And what we've seen in the last few years is we've had 2-3 months supply, sometimes as low as 1 month supply of inventory. So that's a really important question to ask is, how fast are these homes turning over? In your area, your neighborhood you're looking in, what's the average days on market? Sometimes it could be 2 weeks or 3 weeks before these houses are getting sold so fast. So before you make your offer, you need to know the lay of the land and what's going on in your local market.
Mm-hmm. And if you are seeing a home that is on market longer than your average days for that area, that could be a good opportunity. Other people think that maybe something's wrong with the house and maybe there really isn't anything. It's just the product. You know, it's harder to sell that product right now. Maybe it's harder to sell a condo right now with the way rates are with HOAs than it is to sell a single family house. Whatever it is, sometimes the higher days on market may end up being a good deal for you at the end.
Absolutely. And when you find a house that you like, let's say it checks your boxes. I mean, even if it checks 70% of your boxes, you may strongly consider putting in an offer on that house because the houses that do check that many boxes are rare to come across. And so you put your offer in and an offer is not an obligation to buy.
That's right.
That means it's more of like going out on a first date. Like, hey, I want to get to know this house a little bit better. Let's go under contract. Meaning let's get to know each other better, which is like going on a date with the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever you do, just do what you can to get the house under contract because you can work backwards from there. In the state of California, the purchase agreement to buy real estate is very buyer friendly with all the contingencies that we're about to go into. So you have the benefit of being in the driver's seat as soon as you get your house under contract. So do whatever it takes, get it under contract, give the seller the terms they want, and you can always renegotiate in the middle of a transaction.
Absolutely. I remember when we were searching for our next home, we were thinking, okay, which house do I want? And we actually ended up writing 12 offers on different property. And so just because you're writing an offer doesn't mean it's going to be accepted. The sellers in a seller's market have options. There are multiple buyers coming in with all kinds of terms, all cash or non-contingent offers, which basically means that if you have a loan or you have a contingency, they don't even want to consider it. So we wrote 12 different offers on property looking for something that we thought would be a good fit. And then we finally got an offer accepted. And when we started to think about it, we realized that property wasn't actually really the best fit.
Right.
And then what happened next?
Within a couple of days of our offer getting accepted, a better house hit the market. And we wrote an offer on that. We got that house under contract and canceled on the current one and ended up buying the second house. So, I mean, it really, it's not over till it's over, like we always say.
Yeah. So that's really important to understand. When you are searching for homes, you find something that fits your needs, you put an offer in on it because it might not get accepted and you still have those contingencies. So let's talk more about that. What happens once you go under contract on a house? Meaning the seller has agreed to your offer. Congratulations, you're mm-hmm. under contract. You have a contract to purchase a property, but it's not over till it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So what are those next steps once your offer is accepted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once our offer is accepted, you know, you do a little celebration, like just a small one, because it's a big deal that it even got accepted in the first place, especially in a seller's market. So now you are the only buyer able to buy this house while you have it under contract. So that's good news. Second thing you do is within a couple days in California, at least, I'm not familiar with other states and what they have, their rules are set to be, but in California, you have a couple days to put in your earnest money deposit into escrow. And your earnest money deposit is a small portion of your down payment. So it's not in addition to your down payment, it's a portion of it that you're going to pay on the front end. And that's protected by your contingencies. So usually it's between 1 and 3%. That's usually what your deposit is. And it signifies good faith, right? The seller accepted your offer. You have money in escrow. Maybe it's $10,000, a portion of your down payment, protected by your contingencies as a way to show the seller, yes, I'm acting in good faith. Here's some money. I have skin in the game in order for me to buy this house. So that's the first thing you do.
And escrow is a third-party company that handles all the paperwork and all the funds. So they're neutral. They don't favor buyer or seller. They simply do what's written on the contract. So they make sure that the seller gets the funds and that the buyer gets the deed for the house. So that's a neutral party who helps facilitate the transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once you are in escrow and you've deposited that good faith money, then you can start your due diligence. So that good faith deposit can be returned to you if you cancel escrow within your contingencies. And here are the three main contingencies in California that you are going to be writing your offer contingent upon these items. And your first is the inspection. So you want to make sure that during your due diligence, your inspection contingency, the house is safe, habitable, it's in good condition, it meets all of the current local government standards, retrofit requirements, whatever that looks like for you, and you feel good about the house and the bones of the house. The second contingency is your appraisal contingency, which is important because the bank is going to send an appraiser out to the property to verify that the home is safe, habitable, and worth what you are paying. So that's important to have that contingency if you're getting a loan. And in our examples today, we're going to act as if you're buying a house in California with a loan. And then the third contingency is your loan contingency. So obviously, if you're a cash buyer, that doesn't apply. But for our case, in this situation, you are a finance buyer with a loan and you need to wait a few weeks in order to get fully underwritten by the underwriter in order to confirm you are able to buy this house. So those are your main contingencies. And the good news is they're each about 17 days. So you have about 2.5 weeks out of your maybe 1 month, 30-day escrow to get all of your ducks in a row before you have to sign the large stack of papers confirming you're buying the house.
And we often say that it's not over till it's over because you have a second round of negotiations once you get those inspections back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember a time where we had a property in Pismo Beach. It was beautiful. We were looking at doing our contingencies and inspecting the property, and we scheduled everything that you could possibly do. We got, you know, a foundation specialist out there, a home inspector, a pest inspector, a roof specialist, a pool specialist. We went through the list and we got quotes, we got bids, we got a really great scope of what that house actually needed. And so once we put in a request for repairs, we actually got a massive price reduction.
Yeah, those clients we were working with were very organized. And so it always helps to have organized people on your team. And they had an Excel spreadsheet saying, well, for a new roof, it's going to cost X amount. For a new foundation, it's going to cost this amount. So we added it all up, presented it to the seller and said, hey, we really honestly aren't going to buy this unless we get some money back. And the sellers were like, oh my gosh, we had no idea the house needed this much work. Well, yeah, absolutely. We're only 2 weeks away from closing escrow. Yeah, we'll give you a better price in order to make this work. So our buyers knew, yeah, they were getting a better price for the house, but they're assuming all of that work and responsibility. And they're actually still working on the house today. And this was, I think, a year ago. I think it was summer of last year. So it's been quite some time that they've been working on it, but they knew they wanted a fixer-upper and they're excited. But at the end of the day, it shows, do every bit of due diligence you can. Mm-hmm. At the bare minimum, we recommend a home inspection and a pest inspection.
Definitely. And the team that you choose to work with is going to be such a great resource for this exact reason, because if they are a real estate professional, they're going to have a deep list of vendors, of contractors, of handymen, of roofers that can get out to a property quickly, because these contingency timeframes, they're typically only 17 days or less. They might be 12 days or even 10 days. And so you want to get it all done quickly. And that's why you need to have good relationships with local vendors. Mm-hmm. And so the agent and the team that you're working with will make a big difference in making sure you can get all your due diligence done before your contingency release timeline is up.
Exactly. And during your due diligence, it's important to talk to an insurance agent to make sure that you are aware of all of the insurance items that you need on the home, right? Homeowners insurance, maybe you're in a high fire zone, you're going to need a special type of fire insurance. Maybe you're in a floodplain, you're going to need flood insurance. So that's also part of your due diligence to make sure that you know your all-in monthly costs and what that's going to be, because maybe you didn't know you were buying in a flood zone, finds out flood insurance is 5 times what you were expecting and you can't afford it anymore, then you can cancel escrow for that reason within your contingency timeframe. So that's why it's important before you sign away any contingencies or write non-contingent offers, which we see a lot of too, is to make sure that you know exactly what you're getting your house, what is involved in the house and what you're getting yourself into when you end up buying the house.
And along with that, you also have to consider if there is an HOA. Yep. And what the fees are for the HOA, if there's any special assessments that might be coming up. And then you also want to check out the property tax bill. What if there's Mail-a-Roos, which is just another tax that they add onto your property tax bill, or if there's a special assessment for a sewer system or something for that town. So you really need to do your due diligence to understand all your financial obligations when buying a house. Mm-hmm. And a great agent is going to walk you through all of that.
Yep. And one last thing too on our due diligence, especially if you're buying a multifamily property and you are purchasing a house or property that has tenants currently in place, you want to make sure that you have read through that lease. You know exactly what type of lease the current tenants you are assuming have. So that way you're not surprised when you find out that, oh, well, my lease actually says I pay this amount of money, but you were told it was another amount. Well, you have to look at the lease because the lease is what's going to be upheld. And that's what the law is for that tenant-landlord relationship. So it's very important if you don't get that info on the front end before you write your offer, you definitely want to know that while you're in your contingency period, or else your house hack may not be as profitable as you think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In closing, the main and most important thing to the whole entire real estate purchasing process is finding the right team, because who you work with matters. It's going to make a massive difference on all the other steps that we've outlined. And so we've seen that some people, they hire an agent and it didn't work out that well. And then they bought a house that had all kinds of unknown issues with it. And these are things that a good agent can help walk you through and protect you from. And so those are really important things to consider. We've also seen it where we get to the last week where we're supposed to close escrow on a property and then the buyer didn't get the loan. And the whole deal fell apart. We're like, wait a minute, what do you mean the buyer didn't get the loan? So the lender, that's a key component of the entire transaction. You need to make sure that the lender is competent, has done business in your area, and understands your unique financial situation. And that's why local is better than online.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Who you work with matters. And that's the theme of this mini series, right? So we're excited for you to go out and find that house hack that you want, or just your next property in general. We want to make sure that you are equipped with the tools so that way you feel as prepared as possible when you are writing offers and get under contract. So step one, just do what you can to get the house under contract. Step two, then you can negotiate after you do all of your inspections on the property. You get that appraisal, you get that loan approval. Everything is protected while you are within your contingency timeframe. And then the last thing is just make sure before you move forward, your whole team needs to be awesome, rock star, even in the middle of a transaction, the insurance agent you work with, that, right? That's a really important person. So who you work with matters at the end of the day.
Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to catching you next time. And please, as always, like, subscribe to our podcast so that way you can be notified about more tips to help you on your path to happy home ownership. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of our mini series on how to buy a home. Please like and subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends and family. The goal of the podcast is to help young people in California on the path to happy home ownership. And so if you believe in that message, please like and subscribe so we can get that message out there to more people to help them get into a happy home.